Today, we're going to be looking at several different stories from around the country. This is going to be a new type of episode I'm going to do once a week where I catch you guys up on what's going on in the food truck world in a lot of different cities around the country. Some good, some bad. So let's just jump right into it. Welcome to the 10-Minute Food Truck Training Podcast. My name is Bill Moore. I am a food truck business coach, author of 5 food truck vending books, including Food Truck 101 and Food Truck 201. This podcast is all about helping you start and grow your food truck business.
Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at armorall.com. Armor All, less work, more clean. Terms apply.
In Parksley, Virginia, a Haitian food truck owner found themselves in the middle of a legal battle, and it ended up being a civil rights controversy as well. They were facing intimidation by a council member, and they experienced what they believed to be discriminatory enforcement actions and how the laws were applied specifically to their food truck. They ended up filing a lawsuit with the help of the Institute for Justice, and that's an attorney firm that focuses on making sure that the rights of individuals, and that mostly business owners, are upheld, and that we don't have the government trying to play favoritism, saying, well, this business can be successful because we deem it so, and these people can't be because we don't want them around. And they do it not only for food trucks, but a lot of other different types of businesses. And they've been to the Supreme Court a number of times, and they have a very good win-loss record. So despite the turmoil that was going on in Parksley, Virginia, that includes a temporary ban on food trucks, and what they're doing is they're applying zoning challenges. They're saying, you can't have a food truck here. Even though the city gave the Haitian food truck owners their license, and the Haitian food truck owners also had a grocery store. So you would think that somewhere along the line, somebody in the government would say, hey, the place where your grocery store is cannot have a food truck. But no one said anything, but they gladly took their money. So the point of this to help you, if you're just now beginning your food truck journey, or you've already got a food truck, is you got to pay attention to what's going on in the local government where you're at. And then make sure you're asking everybody, especially if you're going to be brand new. Can I set up on the street? Can I set up on property? What are the zoning rules? Is there something that's going to apply to me that prevents me from going where I want to go? You need to know that now before you ever spend money on that food truck, because you don't need somebody with a suit and tie standing out in your line going, hey, you must close down because you're not allowed to be where you're at. So it'll be interesting to see how this eventually plays out in Parksley, Virginia. In Revere, Massachusetts, there's a different angle on the food truck debate. And they're focusing on the balance between brick and mortar establishments and mobile food truck vendors. The city councilors proposed amendments to the local food truck ordinance to address concerns from traditional restaurants about, get this, competition and noise. This move towards compromise allows food trucks to operate in designated areas while protecting established businesses. Now, I would imagine this is going to end up being litigated, too, by the Institute for Justice at some point, because the government can't pick and choose who they're going to protect and who they're going to say, you can't be a business because you're going to interfere with somebody else. Government doesn't have the right to pick economic winners and losers. And again, this illustrates the potential for municipalities to create environments where the brick and mortar and mobile food services are at odds with each other. I've said it many times in the podcast. I say it anytime somebody asks me. If a restaurant can be impacted by a food truck, the restaurant has problems. The restaurant has advantages built into what it is that food trucks can never take advantage of. Restaurants don't have to be as worried about wind and rain as a food truck does. Certainly cold weather doesn't impact a restaurant as much as it does a food truck. So food truck owners have challenges that have nothing to do with the same things that a brick and mortar would face. And yet brick and mortar owners are quote unquote afraid of a food truck. And I will tell any owner that will ask me, if you're afraid of a food truck, you've got problems. You just don't recognize them. No food truck can hurt a well-ran restaurant. It's impossible. In Castle Rock, Colorado, we're going to talk a little bit about safety. The local fire and health departments joined forces to host a food truck safety jamboree. This initiative was aimed at ensuring that food trucks meet the basic fire and food handling safety standards, and then it demonstrates that the general population can feel good about going to a food truck. It's going to be a safe place to eat, it's going to have delicious food, and it's going to be handling the food with the same standards that a restaurant does. The focus in Castle Rock was to provide, again, inspections, but then also education. And it's setting an example of how municipalities can actually support food trucks, making sure that they're operating safely and then also operating successfully. And it benefits both the food truck owner and it benefits the consumers because now they have a lot of different choices. They're not stuck with just the same old thing from a brick and mortar. There's educational opportunities in San Diego and Los Angeles. There's opportunities in those two cities through the school system for the children, we're talking about high school aged, for them to be able to work on a food truck. One of them in Los Angeles is a partnership with Chef Roy Choi and Intuit, and they introduce high school students to culinary world through, again, a food truck program. They're blending the culinary arts with business education. Same thing's happening in San Diego. There's a food truck that just started called Sunset Bites, and that was designed and it's operated by the students, and it's given them practical experience in managing a food business, but just the things that a business in general has got to deal with. These programs prepare the students for future careers. It doesn't have to be in a food truck. It could be in the restaurant world, hospitality, or just business in general, but it's giving them the ability to learn things hands-on. And there's something to be said for being hands-on with your training. And what they're finding is it's also encouraging some of the people that are not necessarily U.S. born to embrace their culture and then share their food, the food experiences from their homeland. When you have a very vibrant food truck scene where you have lots of choices, this is not row after row of barbecue and row after row of tacos, but you got Asian food mixed in there. You got fusion food where they're taking two or three different types of cuisines and mixing them together. When you have those kind of opportunities, then it becomes a reason for people to get out and then let's go downtown where the food trucks are. And notice that we didn't say let's go downtown where a specific food truck is. We're headed down to where the food trucks are and we'll make a choice when we get there. It's one of the things that we've got to get smaller cities to understand. If you want to grow up and be a big city like Los Angeles or San Diego, you've got to embrace change. And that change basically is food trucks are a good thing. People owning their own business is a good thing. It makes your community alive. It makes it more vibrant. It makes it a reason for people to get out and go downtown. You can revitalize a downtown area with a lot of really good small businesses. But if people are afraid to go downtown because, well, there's nothing to eat, they're not going to go downtown. They're going to go wherever the food is. So we're going to do this every week. We're going to talk about legal battles. We're going to talk about regulations and reforming those regulations. We're going to talk about safety. We're going to talk about educational opportunities. And what I want you to consider is the stories that we just talked about highlight a lot of challenges. They also highlight a lot of opportunities and all those opportunities within our industry, the food truck industry. I want you, no matter where you're at in your journey, whether it's starting, you're just now learning how to do a food truck, or you've had one for the last 20 years, I want you to pay attention to what's going on in your city or your county. We've got to get, as much as I tell food truck owners to get out of the Stone Age and get modern technology, we've also got to get the local politicians, the local people to get out of being afraid of food trucks and being out of afraid of being part of change. You want a vibrant downtown? Embrace food. Embrace all the different people that are selling food. Give the folks a reason to go downtown and walk up and down the streets and be able to choose a lot of different kind of food. Thank you so much for listening to the 10-Minute Food Truck Training Podcast. If you're finding all the information helpful to your food truck business, please become a monthly supporter of the podcast. Just hit the support button or follow the link in the description. Every little bit does help keep us going. Join our Facebook group. It's called Food Truck Training. We have a whole bunch of awesome members at all different levels, from brand new beginners to decades-old veterans. They've all got your back when it comes to helping you with your food truck. And again, thank you for listening. Come back tomorrow, because you know I got plenty more to say when it comes to helping you and your food truck business grow.